This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. There are a number of tools and research papers advising teachers on how to best engage introverted students in school. With K-12 education increasingly focused on group learning and collaborative skills, an active, noisy classroom can be a real challenge for introverts, especially when they're the teacher. Michael Godsey is a teacher based in St. Louis Obispo, California, also a contributing writer for The Atlantic, where he wrote about the high burnout rate for introverted teachers and what a loss that is for solitary or withdrawn kids. Michael Godsey, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
So you've met a number of introverted teachers. Do you think they knew what they were getting into?
I think a lot of times there's a sometimes a romantic expectation that there's going to be a lot of reading. I think a lot of readers get into teaching, and I'm an English teacher, so even more with English teachers. Reading and hanging out with people that enjoy reading and book clubs and writing quietly and grading papers, you know, under the lamp, things like that. And then other teachers get into it because they love working with kids. I think there's a broad spectrum, but I think those are the two poles there.
Mm. Well, you mentioned in your article a couple of studies suggesting that introverted teachers are in danger of burning out. What are some of the big challenges for them?
Especially the first 2 years, it's constantly interacting with people and in meetings and in a lot of small talk and a lot of collaboration. And the more introverted you are, the more that you're not ever anti-people. It's just exhausting. And especially the first 2 years, I wouldn't call myself an introvert, and it just exhausted me. It was just new meetings because you got to meet new people. So you got to meet the parents, you got to meet the administration. You're constantly being observed, department meetings, union meetings, collaborative meetings within your department, and then they get you a mentor because they think that helps. But then you're meeting with mentors all the time and senior teachers and things like that, and it's tough. And it's funny, once you get tenure and nobody's observing you as much, you get a lot more quiet time. Hmm. But you got to make it through that first couple of 3 years, and that's when teacher attrition is just really high. It's 41% or something in the first 2 years.
Yeah, so orientation is tough on anybody, but especially introverted teachers. Anecdotally, I've talked with a lot of teachers who've mentioned, you know, there are a lot of meetings, there's a lot of training and workshops, and there's this pressure to be always active and engaged with students and parents. You point to a term in your article coined by the Harvard Business Review. Have we, Michael Godsey, reached collaborative overload?
I think in some environments, I hear it from a lot of people, I see it in little spots. I like the high school I'm at. We haven't overloaded here, but in just like the what you just cited, they're talking about the business world, and I've talked to lots of people in business that are forced into group tables and group rooms where they're always in a collaborative situation, and they say it just exhausts them. It's the same way, I think, with teaching, except we go from those meetings right into another classroom where the kids are expected to be engaged in a collaborative manner a lot of times.
So in general, teachers do have to learn how to recharge. How is it different for introverted teachers?
I think they need to know that it's okay. A lot of them, I read a lot, they're like, whew, you just described me, and I thought I was weird. Like, I thought it was just me. I thought there was something wrong with me. I mean, I didn't know about it until I studied a lot more and started talking to teachers, and then I started seeing teachers quite a bit in their room, sometimes the lights off at lunchtime or after school, just decompressing. And usually they don't know that that's common. They think it's them or there's something wrong with them. And they don't stick up for themselves and say, hey, this is something that I really need. This is a thing. One or two teachers I do know are very aware of it, and they're much more healthy about it.
So do they last?
No, my favorite, that's what I was kind of worried about. I mean, we lost one of the guys I know that spent 2 hours a day in his room quietly all the time. He's moved on to a quieter school. Another guy quit. He was a brand new teacher. I mentioned Mr. Lovegren, who doesn't work around here, but he said he finally quit after 12 years. He couldn't handle it anymore. And he was very conscious of it. He knew, like, I can't take it anymore. I have to have the space, and I'm not getting that space.
So what does that mean for kids?
Well, the bummer for the kids is that I think they're losing that type of teaching, which is really good for kids. I notice that now that I'm more aware of it, I notice how much my kids like at least a designated quiet time, that they they like to interact, they love to socialize, but when I tell them to be quiet and read for a half an hour or we do a quiet activity, I'm recognizing they really like it. And so if we lose those introverted teachers or those that are sensitive to that, I think we lose that for the kids. And also I think they lose role models. Like I said, I think there's that idea that I like to read, so I'm going to be a teacher when I grow up. Or I like to think and reflect in my journal, and so I might want to be a teacher when I grow up. And I think that the more they see these role models that are very active and facilitating and collaborating, and that they'll think that's what teaching is. And then I think that will just get more and more extreme as we progress.
Do you remember, Michael, there was a book a couple of years ago about the power of introverts? I'm trying to remember the woman's name. Susan Cain.
Susan Cain.
Right. She is an introvert herself and made the point that they are not as highly valued as extroverts. So it is a much bigger problem. How do you think to encourage introverts as both teachers and students within the school system?
I just think recognition and awareness is really important. There's still the stereotype of that they are being withdrawn or they're antisocial or they're lazy. And I think there's a lot of teachers in particular, but I think it's every profession, that feel bad when they say, well, I just spent a whole day with kids and now I'm in a meeting where I'm supposed to do an icebreaker and get engaged in a lot of small talk and I'm just exhausted. So I think it's just the awareness more than anything. And the article I cited had a lot of good advice for schools. John Spencer wrote a piece on how to give those teachers the space and just to be aware. One of his pieces of advice was just ask them, like, what's best for you? Where do you get charged up? Where are you the better teacher? I see it with coaches, too. It's even more dramatic. So you'll see really extroverted, excitable coaches, because I coach basketball and baseball, and other ones that are deeply introverted. And as long as they're playing to their strengths, the kids love them, and they play hard for them.
Michael Godsey, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Sure. My pleasure.
Michael Godsey is a teacher. He's based in St. Louis Obispo, California, also a coach, and he's also a contributing writer for The Atlantic. That's where he wrote about the high burnout rate for introverted teachers. You can find a link to read the article at wordofmouthradio.org.